And we're turning now to our reading of Anti-Systemic Movements, Giovanni Arrighi, Terence K. Hopkins, Emmanuel Wallerstein. And we're going to conclude Chapter 4, Beyond Haymarket, before finally getting back to Chapter 5, asking ourselves, what was 1968 the great rehearsal for? Can't come too soon for me. Continuing, second of three subordinate directional changes with... I have to laugh when I read this. I feel this is Terence's sweet work here. Okay, second, no, I'm sorry, that's not fair. Second of three subordinate directional changes for the capitalist development of capital, attendant upon the growing contradiction. And I'm interjecting this. I'm trying to explain, because we're starting back in the middle here, what this second refers to of this list. Second of three subordinate directional changes for the capitalist development of capital, attendant upon the growing contradiction between relations of rule and relations of production. And recall the first of these subordinate directional changes was the challenge states faced by increasing constituencies of welfare and the state's inability to meet popular expectations. And we had a difference of opinion last week, as I think I'll mention in a minute here, as I was arguing that it's a dance they do, their response to our demands. I don't think they sweat much about it, frankly. It certainly never rises to the level of a dissonance or conflict in their mind. All right, so second of these is the seemingly contradictory growth, contradictory to the capitalist development of capital, of human rights as an organizing concern of growing numbers of intellectuals and popular leaders of various persuasions throughout the world. Human rights, to a large extent, framed as the issue has been almost solely in terms of relations of rule, its immediate locus, of course, as an issue they have to confront. The comprehension of its emergence as reflecting the contradictions between relations of rule and relations of production, including relations of appropriation, has been slow to form. And my interjection, in our last show, we questioned whether relations of rule, and this is what I was referring to, which are the relations of rule, I'm arguing, are the crafted legitimacy, manufactured, sculpted, made, conditioned in us through the various mind control mechanisms that the state has at its disposal. And when I say the state, behind the individual nation state stands the interstate system, behind which is the global state statesman. So in our last show, we questioned whether relations of rule, the crafted legitimacy, the internalized mental states that ensure that citizens obey, that nation states use to compel our obedience, were in fact this legitimacy. I questioned whether relations of rule were in fact contradicted by relations of production, the rules for consuming the earth that global statesmen invent to establish the material conditions that reinforce their rule. We could perhaps think of these two broad arenas as two locks on our ability to move, with the chain being our obedience. And I mean, we haven't really talked about this all together, we the people, the notion that, I mean, first of all, whether there is, whether power acts consciously, which means that all our efforts to tease out some scientific method behind what goes on in the world is not just waste of time, fool's errand, sets us back. I mean, it's all this and more. It's horrid. It's an abdication of responsibility. And so if in fact they have this vision they are moving us to, how do they fund it? Because that's a massive project, isn't it? We've been arguing during the course of these shows that this theory accounts for things much more accurately than economic, any form of economic theory.